الحمد لله، الحمد لله واهب المنن ودافع المحن، بين في كتابه أسباب السعادة ووعد أهل طاعته الحسنى وزيادة. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، لا شريك له في ألوهه، وذلك حقه، كما لم يكن له شريك في ربوبيته في خلقه خلقه. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ذو المقام المحمود يوم النشور، ورسوله الموعود بلواء الحمد يوم يخرج ما في القبور، ومن له الحوض والشفاعة يوم يحصل ما في الصدور. فصلى الله عليه ما تنفس الصباح وما شبع زهر وفاح، وعلى آله الأكارم الملاح وصحابته أهل المسالك الصحاح، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، عباد الله، لا يزال الحديث مني متوجها لفئة الأبناء في ثالث وآخر الرسائل لهم من هذا المنبر المبارك. ضمنت الأوليان منهما ما ورد على الخاطر المكدود من كلام لطيف محمود ونصح مباشر مقصود، أردت به توضيح حق والديهم عليهم، ليتداركوا ما كان قد فات من بر والديهم قبل أن يشفى عليهم التراب ويطوي الأجل منهم الكتاب. عندها يا معاشر الأبناء لا ينفع الندم ولا يغير ما قد خط بالقلم، فمن في زمن الإمهال وتصحيح الأعمال فأحسنوا لوالديكم، تجدون ذلك معادا من أبنائكم عليكم، فإن الجزاء من جنس العمل. يحدثني أحد أهل هذا الحي أن ابنه الشاب الفتي قام لأبيه مقام الند للند لما وعظه لنفسه وأمره بأن يصلح ما فسد من لبسه ورأسه. فلا سبحان الله، أين هذا من قوله تعالى: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وأين هو من قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بابان معجلان عقوبتهما في الدنيا، البغي والعقوق؟ رواه الحاكم في مستدركه، وصححه الألباني في صحيح الجامع والسلسلة عن أنس رضي الله عنه. واسمعوا لهذه القصة العجيبة التي ذكرها العلم. ذكروا أن رجلا كان عنده والد كبير فتأثر من خدمته فأخذه وخرج إلى الصحراء ليذبحه، فلما وصل إلى صخرة أنزله هناك فقال: يا بني، ماذا تريد أن تفعل بي؟ قال: أريد أن أذبحك. قال: يا بني، هل هذا جزاء الإحسان؟ قال الابن: لابد من ذبحك فقد أسأمتني. فقال الأب: يا بني، إن أبيت إلا ذبحي فاذبحني عند تلك الصخرة. فتعجب الولد وقال: ما ضرك أن أذبحك هنا وهناك؟ قال: يا بني، إن كان الجزاء من جنس العمل فاذبحني عند هذه الصخرة، فقد ذبحت أبي هناك. ثم قال له: ولك يا بني مثلها، ولك يا بني مثلها إن أنت فعلتها. هذه قصة في جزاء العقوق، فاسمعوا لقصة في جزاء البر. تحدي الآباء أنه قبل 50 عاما حج مع والده بصحبة قافلة على الجمال، وعندما تجاوزوا منطقة عفيف وقبل الوصول إلى ظل، غضب الأب: أكرمكم الله أن يقضي حاجته. فأنزل الابن من البعبع عند ابن مرداحيل ومضى الاب الى حاجته وقال لابن انطلق انت مع القافله وسوف الحق بكم. مضى الابن وبعد قرات من الزمن التفت ووجد ان القافله قد بعدت عن والده فعاد جاريا على قدميه ليحمل والده على كتفه ثم انطلق يجري به ليدرك القافله ويقول الابن وبينما انا كذلك احسست برطوبه تنزل على وجهي تبين لي انها دموع والدي فقلت لابني والله انك اخف على كتفي من الريشه. فقال الاب ليس لهذا بكيت ولكن في هذا المكان حملت انا والدي. الله اكبر. اعظم من جنس العمل. اقول قولي هذا لعلكم تذكرون واستغفر الله لي ولكم انه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله تجزي على الاحسان احسانا. ارسل رسوله بالهدى وانزل عليه خير الهدى قرانا. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله ازكى البريه قلبا وارضاها ربا مؤدب بالقران مجبول على الاحسان صلى الله عليه ما دام ظلام وضياء وما دامت الارض والسماء وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اما بعد ايها المؤمنون ان اول عظيم حق الوالدين على الابناء ذكر الله حق الوالدين 7 مرات في 7 سور مختلفات كلها بصيغه الامر وجاءت الوصيه من الله للاباء بالابناء مره واحده في سوره النساء في قوله تعالى يوصيكم الله في ابنائكم للذكر مثل حظ الانثيين. فاتقوا الله معاشر الابناء في ابائكم لا تعقوهم ولا تعصوا امرهم ولا تقولوا لهم هم ولا تكونوا سببا في الحاق الاذى الحسي او المعنوي بهم لا تجلبوا لهم المعره والمسبه فانهم لطالما بنوا سمعتهم الطيبه التي اعتبروها راس مالهم فلا تضيعوه لهم بافعال ليست هي مما يليق بهم ولا بكم لا تصحبوا رفاق السوء فإنه يغضبهم احذروا غضبهم فإنه يغضب عليكم ربكم فإنه يغضب عليكم ربكم واحذروا دعوتهم عليكم فإنها لا ترد عند مسيئكم. فاللهم اجعلنا من المحسنين ولا تجعلنا من المسيئين واجعلنا بآبائنا وأمهاتنا بارين وارزقنا ببرهم رضاك واجعلنا من أهل برك وتقواك. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم وذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
اعتدلوا تراصوا تقاربوا تناظروا سدوا الخلل حادوا بين المناكب والاقدام لا تدعوا فرجات للشيطان. الله اكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك
مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء نحوا سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ عاملة عاصبة تصنع نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة لا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر، فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام ورحمة الله. الحمد لله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه مصطفى. ما بعد، dear brothers and sisters، we began the khutbah by praising Allah, the one who provides all assistance, the one who protects, the one who clarifies his revealed book, the causes of happiness, and promised in it that he is going to give the people of his obedience al-husna, which is the paradise, and more than that, which is looking to his face
be witness that there is no one worthy of worship but him, but Allah Ta'ala, alone without any partners, in his Godhood, as this is his right, as he didn't have any partners in his Lordship when he created the creation. I be witness that Muhammad is his slave, the one who was given the al-maqam al-mahmud, the praised position in the Day of Resurrection, and his messenger, the one who is promised to be given the flag of praising, and the day in which all those bodies in the graves are going to be brought out. Was the lake and the intercession in the day in which whatsoever hidden in the hearts is going to bring out. So may Allah's blessings be upon him as long as there is a done appeal, and as long as the flowers smells upon his family, the great and wonderful, and his companions, those of the perfect ways. And may Allah's peace be upon them all. After all, all slaves of Allah, my speech is continuing, directed to the youth, and the third and last message to them. And in the first two messages, I have been included as what came to my weak intelligence from the best speech that I could have built, and the advices which is given directly to the point, and I wanted by that to clarify the right of their parents upon them. They can correct on behalf from the birth of their parents before the sign is called on them, and before the book of their life is full. Then all youth, then and then, blame isn't worthy, and nothing can change what has been written. So in the time of days, so go and correct your deeds by acting goodly to your parents. And you will see that in your life from your children before death, as the new one is the same of what you act. One of the fathers in this camp have told me that his young child, strong young son, stood one day before his father, face to face, man to man. When his father advised him to correct his
security of what he dresses and of his haircut. And subhanallah, where is this son? From the shame of Allah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. I've made it obligatory to worship not but him alone and to act goodly to your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنِّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. So when both of them or one of them gets old while you're still alive, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنَرْهُمَا. So then don't say "uff" as a refusal expression of what they command you to, but وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, but of good. وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, and bestow down the wing of humiliation in a form of mercy for them, and say رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. O my Lord, merciful with them as they raised me up when I was child. And where is this man from the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Two gates of punishment are not denied. They are going to be given in this life, oppression and disobedience to parents. And this hadith is reported by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak and authenticated by Imam Albani in Sahih al-Jami' and his Sirah al-Sahiha on the authority of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then all yous, listen to this story. Very amazing story, which some of the people of knowledge have mentioned. They say there was a man, when his father became very old, he was upset with him, serving him. So one day he took his father, the old weak father, to the desert to kill him. So when they reached by a rock, the child by the father down of the tunnel. So the father said to the son, "Oh son, what do you want to do with me?" He said, "I'm going to slaughter you. I'm going to kill you." The father said, "Oh son, is this the reward of good? Is this the reward that you should give me?" He said, the son said, "I have to kill you. I'm too upset with you." So the father said, "Oh son, if you intended to kill me, then kill me by that stone, by that rock." The son was amazed, asking, "Father, what's the difference between this or that if you're going to be killed?" He said, "It is because what you see is the reward of what you do. And I have killed my father by that stone. So if you want to kill me by that stone, and get the tidings that you're going to have the same by your sons." This is a story of the consequences of عقوق or disobedience to parents. But listen to another story of obedient child to his parents. One of the fathers said that rarely before 50 years I've went for Hajj in a caravan with my father on camels. And when we passed the place called Afif, and just before we reached the place called Ghulm, that is between Riyadh and Mecca, the father wanted to come down on the camel to go
under the request of some of our brothers here. They said they want to go through the adhkar on correcting the recitation of the adhkar. So every Friday we're going to get one dhikr of the adhkar of their night. And now, and we're going to begin with the adhkar of day, inshallah. And of course, you know that Ayatul Kursi, Mu'awwadatayn, and Ikhlas are from the adhkar. And I assume that every one of you recites them well. We get the first dhikr. Who can tell us one dhikr? Let's say asbahna wa asbah al mulku lillah. This is one of the famous dhikr. Asbahna wa asbah al mulku lillah walhamdulillah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. ربي أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده، وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده. ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر. ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار وعذاب في القبر. Can we listen, إخوان؟ هذا الذكر الذي سمعناه نقوله مرة أخرى. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله وأمسينا وأمسى والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله وحده له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
اللهم
إني أعوذ بك من اللهم إني أسألك من
خير هذا اليوم
خير هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده وأعوذ بك من شري
وأعوذ بك
من شر هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل
وسوء الكبر ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار
ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار
طيب.
ومن عذاب في القبر.
نسمعها مرة أخرى أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله الحمد لله لا إله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. ربي أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده. ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر. ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار وعذاب في القبر.
ثانية. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إني أعوذ بك اللهم إني أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم
خير هذا اليوم
وخير ما بعده وأعوذ بك من شر هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا اليوم.
هي ربي
ربي
ربي وليس الله
الأولى ربي كذلك
طبعا.
ربي أسألك من خير هذا
هكذا علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عيد ربي أسألك في خير هذا اليوم
ربي أسألك خير هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده
ربي أسألك خير هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده. ربي أعوذ بك أو
لا أعد أنت كنت أصبح. ربي أسألك خير
ربي أسألك ما في خير ما في هذا اليوم وخير ما بعده وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذا اليوم وشر ما بعده. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر وأعوذ بك من عذاب ربي إني أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار وعذاب في القبر
ربي من عذاب في النار
وعذاب في القبر.
We'll say this hadith to be memorized for next Friday. And next Friday, no excuses. Everyone got to recite it. You didn't know how to recite it, you recite now after me. Just recite after me so you know how to recite it. So when you memorize it, then you memorize it correctly. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله لا إله إلا الله. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله
الملك لله
والحمد لله
الحمد لله
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله
وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. ربي أسألك خير ما في هذا اليوم،
خير ما في هذا اليوم،
وخير ما بعده،
خير ما بعده.
ربي أعوذ بك،
ربي أعوذ بك،
وأعوذ بك،
وأعوذ بك
من شر ما في هذا اليوم،
من شر ما في هذا اليوم،
وشر ما بعده،
وشر ما بعده.
وأعوذ بك،
وأعوذ بك
من شر هذا اليوم،
من شر هذا اليوم،
وشر ما بعده،
وشر ما بعده.
ربي أعوذ بك،
ربي أعوذ بك
من الكسل،
من الكسل،
وسوء الكبر،
وسوء الكبر.
وربي وأعوذ بك،
وأعوذ بك
من عذاب،
من عذاب
في النار،
في النار،
وعذاب في القبر،
وعذاب في القبر.
هذا الحديث this ذكر is reported by Imam Muslim and this ذكر provides you the thankfulness of that day, the good of that day, and protection of evil of that day. And if you die, you die upon the Tawheed, and you get the protection of the grave, punishment, and the fire. So it is a great, great dhikr that most of us do not pay attention to it, do not take care. And this is from Shaitan, because it provides you protection of the Shaitan. And Shaitan doesn't want you to have protection, so he can avoid you. And that's why he makes you lazy to say this adhkar in the morning. Once you pray Fajr, you need to sit down and say this adhkar. It takes about 10 minutes. That's all what it takes to say all the adhkar of the morning. And in the evening, from after Asr until Isha, you can say the adhkar of Masa, the night, evening. And it also doesn't take time, it's only 10 minutes. And we have plenty of 10 minutes wasted. Just for this dhikr, we always have excuses that we were busy, we did not find time. And this is from Shaitan, to make you remember that you are in a battle. You are in the battle now with the Shaitan. You are fighting. And he wants you to forget your weapon. As what Allah Ta'ala said about the human kuffar when they fight Muslims. ود الذين كفروا لو تضعون أسلحتكم فيميلوا عليكم ميلة واحدة. So they are watching. The human enemies are watching. Muslims put you down your weapons and rest, they come and attack you. Shaitan is only watching. He is watching you from where no other enemies can see you. He can watch you. So he knows, not only knows, he is the one whispering you to leave the weapon. So we need to hold our weapon strongly. It is a real battle. It's worse than the battle of whatever you see in the world. It's worse. The consequences of that battle is that you die. Spirits leave the bodies. But this kind of battle, spirits are still in the bodies, but they are dead.
It's an example of converting man to animal, converting lion to ant, converting lion to ant. Ant, small child can kill. Lion, many animals fear and cannot kill. So when you have your weapon, the victim, you like the lion. And when you forget and abandon your dhikr, then you are like an ant and even worse. So we have to, first of all, memorize them, recite them correctly, and keep saying them. So you have protection. Now, inshallah ta'ala, the next Friday we need to hear from all of you, with no exemptions, every individual get to say it. And correct. And correct. And we may make some kind of banalization. And as they say, touch my heart but don't touch my pockets. We're gonna make it money. If you don't do your homework, 100 they are fine. Sisters, they cannot be free. I'll bring my wife to teach, to test them. 100, the wife 100, children, every individual 100. So we're gonna have many hundreds. And don't worry, we're not going to take them. We're going to spend them fi sabilillah. But you're not going to be rewarded for it. Because it's a penalty now. It's not a donation. So, please be serious. And for these small things we are not so serious, we the Salafis, this. What else? I don't know what else we are so serious with. A protection from shaitan, which is easy, simple. We just ignore. Oh, these small things. We are too big. We are only free to know who's Tawani, who's Tablighi, who's this, who's that. We are not free for shaitan. Leave him alone. So, Ikhwan, we have to understand our situation. When you are in the battle, you don't ignore no one from the enemies. Even the servants of the enemies, you must be careful of them. Because they might put the poison in the food that is given to you. They don't carry guns, but they can put poison in it. I'll kill you with that. So you have to be careful. The only protection for that, yeah, to be protected from food, not to be poisoned, you need to take it to the lab. So they can tell you if it's poisoned or not. To get protected from the, I don't know what they call this, the trap weapons. Some weapons are made as trap. Once you press on the, what do you call that, trigger, instead of the bullet goes out and kills someone there, it explodes there and kills you. So what is the protection? The only protection you have is the good connection with Allah. If you cannot do the dhikr of the day and night, wallah, I don't think you can do nothing to Salafiyyah, to this deen, nothing. I don't think that the one who is not doing the dhikr of day and night is qualified to give da'wah or to do any kind of protection to this deen. Because he's very, very weak.
is very very weak. So we have to be serious, ikhwan, with that. Besides that, we have to be serious with what we learn. And again, I'm sure now, if I just put a simple question now, which I have put many times, and you all laughed many times, you're going to laugh for not the last time. Can any individual of you, just one, stand up and tell me the conditions of Salah, pillars of Salah, obligations of Salah, sunan of Salah, and nullifiers of Salah? Are you the only one? And I'm sure that all heads down. Why? Because we are not so serious here. We are not so serious. We like these places, mosques, we like studying with the celebrity brothers, we like, but seriously we don't like it. Seriously we don't like it. We like to be seen from amongst the Tullabul Ilm. We like to be named as the Tullabul Ilm. The Ilm itself, there is some kind of enmity between us and it. Seriously, and as I said many times, I know my speech is too harsh, but I'm happy to be harsh in this way rather to be in many people's way. Because I'm sure now if I start speaking, I give it so and so and so and so, many of you will be happy. That harsh is light. But when I say, Muhammad, you're wrong, here the bomb is exploded. Here I lose my brother. You know why? Because it is false brotherhood. It's not so real, strong, serious brotherhood. We're just, you know, pleasing each other in a way we know that we are not together on the same way. So my advice to you, brothers and sisters, be serious. It's very limited time when we shall leave this life, and nothing can benefit you there. Nothing can benefit you except such things, dhikr, knowledge. When you learn it and implement it, you all pray. And we have done this course many times. Yet none can stand and say, I can't say them all. Why? Because when we pray, we do not have this in mind. That is a problem. That's a problem. And when we learn the Aqidah, we may memorize something, but only small thing. Majority of what we learn goes with the wind. You know why? Because we don't implement them in our lives. We do not implement them in our lives. If we do, they won't lose. They won't get lost. So we have to be serious, therefore. And I ask you now, Billahi, we have been through, mashallah, most of the book, and it is all guidance by Sheikh Ibn Baz. And we've been through the adab of entering the house and exiting the house. Be honest and serious with Allah, with yourself, before with us. And I don't want you to tell me, but tell yourself. Times you implemented this since we left. And when I taught it, it wasn't the first time you see it. It wasn't the first time you see it. So we need to be serious. We need to be serious. Now, my father. عن 185 والكبار والصغار. بدر وتران.
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الدرس 13 الآداب الإسلامية.
نعم 105
والكبار
نعم.
توقير الكبير مما أمر به الإسلام. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لمن تكلم قبل الأكبر كبر. رواه البخاري ومسلم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن منه تعالى إكرام ذي شيبة المسلم وحامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه والجافي عنه وإكرام ذي السلطان المقتط. رواه أبو داود وهو صحيح. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف شرف كبيرنا. رواه
ويعرف شرف كبيرنا.
رواه أبو داود والترمذي وهو صحيح. ومن توقير الكبير توقير العالم بأنه كبير بعلمه وفضله.
نعم. الشيخ بن باز said from the manners of Islam is also the way in dealing with the kibar or the older ones. And then Qoyan said, and from the respect of the older ones is what Islam commanded with. What sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, when two sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining of a merger. The one who's killed was the father of the youngest. So the son started speaking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately told him, Kabbir. Let the older one speak, although he has the right, but this is not from respect to come before an old one, older than you, and you start speaking. Unless if it is in ilm, you are talib al-ilm or alim, and that older one is not, then you have the right to speak, because you are older than him by the ilm. Because the ilm makes the young old, meaning to gain respect. And as in the hadith of Abu Dawud, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ, from glorifying Allah, is being honored, being kind to the old Muslim, man or woman, to be, now look, to the son who is tough with his Muslim father and all, is this son glorifying Allah? And that wife of the child, when she deals with her mother-in-law, cursing her or raising her voice before her or something, is that
a way of respecting this old woman. So this is not, this woman is not glorifying Allah in reality. And also to be kind with the one who is memorizing the Quran, but with the condition. Memorizing the Quran, غير الجاغالي فيه والجاغي عنه. The one who is not ghali, who is not extreme in implementing the Quran, making ghuloom, or the one who abandoned the Quran, never read the Quran, or having the Quran but never respect the Quran. So we have to know the one who is ghal with the Quran, the extreme one, who goes to, for example, some ayat of like, for example, the ayat of zina, the ayat of this, and he then implement them on Muslims who do these wrongs, these mistakes. This is ghulu, this is extremism. And the one, the Jafi one, who says, no, yani, the ghali one who always say, inna Allah shadidul iqab, then Allah's punishment is severe. That's all what he brings from the Quran. And the Jafi is the one who just brings, inna Allah ghafur rahim. So he does whatever he does of the sins, and he says, inna Allah ghafur rahim. And the other one, once anybody does any mistake, he boycotts him. Allah's punishment is severe. Khalas, finish. Boycott him. And that's, these two, even if they memorize the Quran, yet they have no...